You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Friday, October 18th, 2019. Your boy Q here with you. As always, you can find me on Twitter at your boy Q254. And I'll tell you, a lot of folks found me on Twitter on Thursday. I guess after I said that I have a stream link for Raider games, everyone hit me up and was like, hey, man, let me get that stream link. Let me get that link. I ain't mad at you. For years on top of years on top of years, I had to be the bootleg king and find a link like that to watch the Raider games. But all is good. So I definitely appreciate everyone who hit me up on Thursday asking for that stream link. And hopefully it works really well for you on Sunday. If not, believe me, there's plenty of them out there. But that one that I gave to a lot of people already is a really good one. So hopefully, like I said, it works out for you on Sunday. Coming up for you on today's show in segment number three, going to have your call straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. In segment number two, going to have the keys to the game, what I think that the Raiders need to do, how the Raiders could win this game. Going to be a very tough game going to Lambeau Field, playing against the Green Bay Packers, 5-1 Green Bay Packers. Oh, by the way, led by Aaron Rodgers, who will be a Hall of Famer when he's ready to be a Hall of Famer. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough game on Sunday, but we'll break it down in segment number two, talk about the keys to the game, talk about how they could potentially come away with a victory and move to 4-2 on the season. But again, that's coming up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, give you the news and the notes of the day, and really it's just going to be about the injuries, who's injured right now, who I think is going to be a go, and who I think is going to be a no-go for Sunday's game against the Packers. Before I get into that, though, I want to tell you about the folks at Roman, a men's healthy company who are changing the game with Roman Swipes. That's right, the secret to longer-lasting sex is Roman Swipes. Get $10 off your first order of Swipes and free two-day shipping at GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. And before I get into the news and the notes, I also want to kind of give you an update periodically throughout the month or whatever. I always say, like, hey, man, the downloads are amazing. Or, you know, over the course of the year, actually, I've talked about how the show has grown. And we talk about all the phone calls that I get now on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line and just how much this show has grown from where it was when I took over a little over a year ago, and to where it is right now. You know, at one point I was hoping to get about 30,000 downloads a month. I thought that was a very successful month. And you know, it was at the time, it was a really successful month. Now it's a lot more. Now it has grown. And so PE in North Carolina, he actually hit me up yesterday and was like, hey man, let's get an update on the podcast, on the show, you know, what the numbers looking like. So as of this morning, The show for this month has 95,921 downloads as of this morning. So before this show was even complete, it already has 95,921 downloads for the month, which is actually, believe it or not, down 1% from last month. But last month I had a couple Saturday shows, I think a Sunday show. There was a couple extreme shows because of everything that was going on in the month of September. So I had more than the normal Monday through Friday shows. But so it's down 1% from last month, and it's at 95,921 downloads, and it's only the 18th of October right now. So I still got the rest of the month to go. It'll go well over 100,000 downloads for the month, and that's awesome. For the year, Raider Nation, check this out. Hopefully you're sitting down when I tell you this. For the year, 926,380 downloads for the year. We will be over 1 million downloads before November is over, probably by this time next month. By this time next month, I'll be talking about 1 million downloads for the year, and that's pretty stinking awesome. So hats off to you and helping this show grow as much as it has, from wanting 30,000 downloads a month to now all of a sudden sitting at almost 100,000 downloads in a month is pretty stinking awesome. So thank you very much for all the support. Now on to the news and the notes for the day, and it's all about injuries and kind of the injury report and who do I think is going to be a go and who's a no-go for Sunday's game against the Packers. And let's start with right tackle Trent Brown. Again, did not practice. He's dealing with the calf injury that he suffered in practice on Monday, according to head coach John Gruden. We'll see if he practices later on today, but I really have a gut feeling that he will not be playing on Sunday for the Raiders. And again, this could be for multiple different reasons. We know Trent Brown's name is in the headlines right now for a lot of bad things, and now he has this calf injury. So with the two combined, there probably is a good chance that he's not going to be playing on Sunday. If he is, it'll be a welcome sight because the Raiders really, really need Trent Brown out there. The Packers have some pass rushers that could really get after Derek Carr, and Trent Brown's going to be needed out there. But if not, it'll probably be David Sharp or Brandon Parker going to be out there taking the spot, and neither one of those are good options. But as of right now, it doesn't look too promising for Trent Brown to play on Sunday. But he is a veteran, so if he doesn't practice, he's probably one of those guys that can go out there and still participate and play even though he doesn't have any practice, because he's a veteran and he knows what he's supposed to be doing. Defensive end Arden Key, he didn't practice. He's dealing with that knee injury. He's not going to play. I'm 99.9% sure he's going to miss this game. He hurt that knee in the game against Chicago and London a couple weeks ago, and you kind of knew he was going to be out for a while, a couple weeks. So Arden Key, he's 99.9% sure he's not going to play. Not really a big loss in my opinion. He's just a rotational guy at this point anyway, but we'll see. We'll see what happens, but I don't expect to see number 99 out there on Sunday. Now, wide receiver Tyrell Williams, he did not practice at all. He's still dealing with that plantar fasciitis, dealing with that foot injury, and that's going to be a bad blow, and I think that he's going to be out for some time. I don't expect to see him on Sunday. I don't think he's going to be back anytime soon. That plantar fasciitis is no joke. You know, it's a very painful injury. And when John Gruden said earlier this week that it's just not getting better, that definitely did not sound good. That didn't bode well for Tyrell Williams and his health and health improving. So again, don't expect to see Tyrell Williams on Sunday. And again, it's a big blow because he's a big time receiver, has 4 touchdowns on the season, but there's just no way you can put him out there if he's not healthy. So he's going to be a loss, but the Raiders will have to find a way to overcome that. They were able to do that against Chicago and London, and they're going to probably have to do that again. I don't know who's going to have to step up, but someone's going to have to step up if wide receiver Tyrell Williams is not able to go, and I don't expect that he will. Tight end Darren Waller just signed his new little 3-year contract extension. He was limited on Thursday with a foot injury. Not concerned about him at all. I definitely believe he'll be playing on Sunday. His limited status, I don't think, is a real big deal. Obviously, later on today, they'll have practice again and they'll release a report, but I expect him to be 100% a full go on Sunday against the Packers. So no concern there. Also, another guy limited was safety LaMarcus Joyner. He was limited with a groin injury. He's a veteran. No worries there. He's going to be out there. Right guard Gabe Jackson, he was limited with the knee injury, but you know that they're going to kind of bring him back slowly anyway, since this is the first week that he's actually had to practice since he hurt his knee back in training camp. So I'm not worried about Gabe Jackson. He'll be out there, I'm sure, 100%. The question is, will his running buddy at right tackle, Trent Brown, be out there? Right when you think that, you know, the offensive line is about to be solidified and everything's going to be back, all the parts that are there, Richie Incognito's back, Gabe Jackson's back, and now all of a sudden Trent Brown looks like he may be a no-go. So, you know, it's a work in progress. It's been a work in progress all season long. And again, you got to give Tom Cable a lot of credit because he's been able to overcome the guys that have been out. Gabe Jackson when he was out, Incognito when he was out. You know, if Trent Brown goes down, someone else is going to have to step up. Again, I'm not a big believer in Brandon Parker or David Sharp, but either way, you still have to go in there and do what you do. You know, they're going to have to scheme something up. They're going to have to work on something. They're going to have to give some help. They're going to have to figure something out. If Trent Brown's not out there, that's a major loss. But Tom Cable and company will have to figure out how to survive without him if he is a no-go. And then wide receiver kick returner Dwayne Harris, he was limited with the ankle injury. Not a big deal. I could see him playing on Sunday, but if he doesn't play, I don't think it's a big loss. Trevor Davis has done a hell of a job filling in for him as a kick returner, punt returner, and even got into the game and has done some things offensively. So I'm okay if Dwayne Harris is not out there. Not a big deal. Really, the guys that I'm paying attention to are Trent Brown and Tyrell Williams. Those are two guys that are definitely needed for the success of the Raiders. But again, it's one of those things that you just can't avoid injury. I mean, every team in the NFL is dealing with an injury. You saw what happened to Patrick Mahomes last night with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's going to be out at least three weeks, and maybe more, depending on the results of the MRI. And, you know, the one thing about it, man, I know he plays for the hated Chiefs, and I know the Chiefs are really, really good, and hell, they still found a way to win even when he went out of the game. I will never, ever, ever celebrate a man getting injured or celebrate a player getting injured. I don't care what team he plays for at all. We'll never celebrate that because, I mean, these guys' careers could end so quickly. And that kind of injury that Mahomes suffered on Thursday night was really, really bad. I mean, this dude had a dislocated knee. I mean, think about that. I mean, I think it was, who was it, Shelby Harris? Yeah, Shelby Harris. I think he said that his knee was on the side of his leg or something. Like, it's just not supposed to be there. So that's a horrible injury. Hopefully Patrick Mahomes is okay. Love to see him get back out on the field sooner rather than later. But unfortunately for the Chiefs, you know he's going to miss at least 3 weeks. And, again, I hope that he doesn't have to go through surgery and miss the rest of the season. Because I'll tell you one thing, even though he's a hell of a player, I know he makes the Chiefs that much better, he is a lot of fun to watch. Even though a lot of times it's not positive for the Raiders, he is still a lot of fun to watch. And so I hate to see any guy go down with an injury like that. Coming up in segment number two, going to talk keys to the game. Raiders, Packers, Sunday, Lambeau Field. How could the Raiders pull off a victory? I'll tell you how next on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they'll pay when you win. And let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I definitely wouldn't tell you about this if they weren't the best. So do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football this season, do it with MyBookie. You can actually bet on games after the kickoff. If by the second half it looks like your bet's going to lose, just flip it on over to the other side. It is all good. And if you're the kind of person that likes to bet a little and win a lot, you could do a parlay. All your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings just like that. So again, if you're betting the football season, which is the best time to bet, you got to do it with MyBookie. You can join them today at mybookie.ag. Promo code Locked On. Activate that offer. They'll double your first deposit. Again, that's mybookie.ag today. Double your first deposit if you use the promo code Locked On. You play, you win, you get paid. Segment number two is on the way.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Here we are, Raider Nation. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Friday, October 18th, 2019. It's the end of the week, meaning it's time to head into another weekend and get ready for a game that will be played. The Raiders were off last week. They had a bye. Kind of nice to be able to sit back and relax and watch a bunch of other teams play, a bunch of other teams lose, a bunch of other teams win, and not have to stress out about the Raiders, right? Well, that is over because the rest of the season from this week on out, the rest of the season, the Raiders will be playing. So each and every week, we'll have a game to talk about. And this week is a big one in Lambeau Field, the mecca of football, Lambeau Field. Crazy things happen in Lambeau. It's going to be a 10 a.m. kickoff on the West Coast, even though, and that's been a factor. That's been a factor. But as of late, it seems like the Raiders have really overcome that. That's something that used to really be a bugaboo back in the day, but it seems like they've really kind of outgrown that and gotten better than that, matured from that, let's put it like that. So I don't really want to put that as a negativity, but it's just something to point out that it is a 10 a.m. West Coast kickoff, and, you know, traditionally the Raiders weren't great at that, but like I said, they've done a lot better with that. But you're in Lambeau Field, that's the mecca, you're playing against Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers, by the way, are 5-1 on the season under new head coach Matt LaFleur. So what are the keys to the game? You know, a lot of people are looking at this game and thinking, oh, man, there's no way the Raiders are going to win. The Packers are going to blow them out. But in my opinion, the Packers haven't played that well. I know they're 5-1 on the season, but they haven't played that great. They've been playing some pretty good defense, but not run defense. You know what I mean? It's like there's been parts of their game that have been really, really good, really exceptional, and then there's parts of their games that is just aight. You know, it's just okay. It hasn't been great. Their run defense has been horrendous. I think that that's going to be something that's really going to really hurt them on Sunday against the Raiders, because I believe John Gruden knows, and I think that coaching staff is smart enough to know how bad their run defense has been. And again, you heard the crossover edition on Wednesday where my guy, Peter, was saying that, you know, Mike Pettine is going to basically allow you or dare you to run the ball, and then, oh, by the time you get to the red zone, you're not going to be able to score a touchdown. As far as I'm concerned, that's not an arrogant statement from him. That's an arrogant approach by the defensive coordinator. And I know some people hit me up and were like, oh, man, that guy was arrogant. I don't really think he was. I think he was just saying that this is the vibe that he's getting from the defensive coordinator, that he's okay with you running the ball. So if you're going to dare me to do it, then I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah, go ahead. I dare you to run and see what happens when you get to the red zone. Well, go on a run then. Let John Gruden run Josh Jacobs. And look, he's been a key all season long, wins and losses. The games where he's done really well, the Raiders have won. Games where he hasn't been involved that much, they've lost. I mean, it's really, really simple. Think about it. The two losses, he wasn't very involved. He had 10 touches in week two against Kansas City and 12 against Minnesota, or vice versa, 12 or 10. It doesn't matter. Very limited amount of touches. So Josh Jacobs got to get the ball often, and he's got to get the ball early, and the Raiders have to get off to a quick start. They can't sleepwalk through the first quarter. They got to get out to that quick start like they did in London, or that quick start that they had against Indianapolis. They got to have that. Coming off of bye week, I would expect them to be well-rested and well-prepared for this game. There's nothing worse than coming off a bye week and then looking unprepared when you get into the game. That is the absolute worst, and I don't expect them to look like that at all. As a matter of fact, I think with the Packers coming off that Monday night game and the kind of emotions of that game, it's going to be tough for them. You know, they're going to be a little, not dead-legged, but they're going to be a little bit tired as well. You know, so this game is really a sneaky good game and good setup. If the Raiders were going to have to play on the road against the Packers, this is the best kind of scenario. Have them on a short week and you coming off a bye week. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better situation for yourself. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to win the game. You got to go out there and execute. But if you can establish that run early, get the ball out of Derek Carr's hand quickly, because they have some ends, some edge rushers that they brought in through free agency that have been absolute monsters. They can get after the quarterback. Similar to what Khalil Mack does, sack the ball, not really sack the quarterback. That's what these guys are doing off the edge. So, and that's why Trent Brown is going to be a major factor if he's playing or not. Because if not, if he's not playing, you really, really got to be cautious on that right side. Because Brandon Parker, David Sharp, neither one of those guys, both those guys combined aren't Trent Brown. In size and skill, really. I mean, because Trent Brown is so massive. But still, I mean, it's going to be a tough situation if TB's not out there. You really want him there, but you just don't know if he's going to be able to go or not. So later on today, we should find out. And that'll, or at least Saturday at the latest, probably should find out. And that'll be a major key to the game. But as long as you can establish that run, I believe that the Raiders can run when you get to the red zone as well. I don't believe that all of a sudden the Packers defense is going to tighten up where you can't score. I think the way that the offensive line has been playing in the trenches, I mentioned it a week ago, that's how the Raiders have been winning games, is in the trenches on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. So once you get into the red zone, I believe the Raiders can run the ball into the end zone. And if not, if they need to throw the rock, that's when Hunter Renfrow comes in handy. That's when Darren Waller should come in handy. That's when, Foster Moreau should come in handy. He's been coming up big, you know. I'd love to see Darren Waller get his first touchdown. But look, Foster Moreau's been going up and making some plays, showing that he has some hands. I'd like to see him be a factor in the game. Keelan Doss is a big body, so some of those slants. You can see some of those slants going into the end zone. Again, I would try to target Kevin King. Kevin King's not the biggest dude. Jair Alexander isn't the biggest dude either, but he's really, really skilled. So if you can get a matchup with Kevin King down in the red zone, that's how you could score. So, again, a heavy dose of the run game. Josh Jacobs has got to touch the ball, in my opinion, 25, 26 times in the game. I don't care if you're just handing the rock 25 times or it's a combination of handing the rock and then throwing some passes to him out of the backfield. Either way, he's got to be heavily involved for the Raiders to be able to win this game. They've got to own the time of possession. The best way to defeat Aaron Rodgers is keeping him on the sideline. I mean, it's really that simple. Keep him on the sideline. You've seen the blueprint work. Look, go back and – well, you probably won't go back and look, but the Eagles did this to the Packers a few weeks ago to give them their only loss. They ran that ball down the Eagles – or they ran that ball down the Packers' throat. And they ran, and they ran, and they ran. I think Carson Wentz threw for less than 100 yards that game, and they won that game. So the run game will definitely be major for the Raiders on Sunday. Now, flipping over on the defensive side of the ball, it is really, really easy as far as I'm concerned. You do what you've been doing that's been strong for you, which is stop the run. Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, those guys should not get off on you. I don't believe that the Packers' run game is that good. They've had success in a few games this season, but they've also had games where they couldn't run the ball at all. Nothing. Couldn't get anything done, and Aaron Rodgers had to throw the ball 45, 50 times. The only problem is Aaron Rodgers can throw the ball 45 or 50 times. He's very comfortable throwing the ball 45 or 50 times. So what you have to do defensively, the Raiders have to stop the run first, and they have to find a way, and I know this is going to sound stupid and like the obvious, they do have to find a way to generate some pressure on Aaron Rodgers, because there is no way that you beat Aaron Rodgers if he doesn't get pressure, if he doesn't get hit a few times, if he doesn't get knocked down a few times. Hell, I'll even take a 15-yard penalty. Not a dirty hit, but one of those, you know, close hits. He might need that to get a little uncomfortable. If he is sitting back in the pocket and doesn't have the pressure, doesn't feel the pressure, he's going to pick you apart. I don't care who you are. It would take Jesus to cover the wide receivers if Aaron Rodgers doesn't get any pressure. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus would even struggle, even though you know he'd win. But he would still struggle. That's just not a good matchup. Probably not a good example either. But whatever. It is what it is. You know what I'm trying to say. You cannot let that dude stand back in the pocket and just think about what he's going to do. Because he'll look off his first, second, and third read and go for the big play and get you. And look, the corners can only cover for so long. Jimmy Graham is a big play guy for Aaron Rodgers, but he's not the Jimmy Graham of old. You know, he's kind of a shell of himself, but around the red zone, around the end zone, he really becomes effective. And again, he can still make a big play. So going to have to really be careful with, you know, LaMarcus Joyner. He'll probably have his hands busy all day long dealing with Jimmy Graham or dealing with the middle of the field, really, because the Aaron Rodgers, again, will get comfortable and throw the rock all over the field. So this guy is going to have to get some pressure on him. Somehow, some way, somehow, someone's going to have to get some pressure on him. I don't care if it's Max Crosby, Benson Mayowa, Clee Farrell. I mean, Mo Hurst up the gut. I mean, that's the thing. If you could really get that pressure from the inside, and where Aaron Rodgers wants to step up into the pocket, because he loves to step up into the pocket. So if you can get that interior push, that'll be actually even more important and more effective than the guys coming off the edge. If you get that pressure up the gut, make him start running around. Once he starts running around, you have an opportunity to make a play. Now, he's damn good when he does that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to take anything from him. He's damn good when he can do that, when he can just run around and make a play. But at least give yourself an opportunity. That's all you could really do. If you do that, if you get some pressure on him, if you stop the run and get some pressure on him, make him a little uncomfortable, you're giving yourself a chance in the game. Not saying you're going to win, because you could do all that to a T and you might still lose this game. He's that stinking good. But you're giving yourself a chance. And look, he's an elite quarterback. The next couple weeks are going to be against really, really good quarterbacks. This is the best quarterback that the Raiders have faced all season long. And yes, I know they faced Patrick Mahomes, but this is a Hall of Famer. This is a HOFer. This is a guy with a gold jacket when he's ready. He's the best of the best right now. He could be one of the you could argue he's the best in the league right now. Could say that. This will be a major test, and this will kind of give you an idea of where the Raiders are. Before any of us fans start talking about the P word, and we all know what P I'm talking about, not that P. Not the blue chew. Not the blue chew or the Roman swipes type P. I'm talking about that P. You know, extra games P. That's what I'm talking about. Before we can get into that kind of conversation, you got to go out and compete against a team like this and a team like Houston next week. The good thing is they'll have a good luck charm in Houston. That'll be me. I'm not going to be in Lambeau Field. Nico in North Jersey will be, but I won't be. Shout out to Nico, man. Him and his mom. Have a good time at that game. Hopefully you're that good luck charm. You can bring the Raiders home a W. I haven't decided who I think wins this game yet. I've been wrestling back and forth in my mind. And that's how close I think this game is going to be. I don't think it's going to be a blowout on either end. I don't think the Packers are going to blow the Raiders out. And I sure don't think the Raiders are going to blow them out. I want to lean to the side of a 24-21 victory for the Raiders, but then I could also see a 21-17, 21-16, 21-17 victory for the Packers. There is one thing for sure. The Raiders can't do like the Lions did on Monday night and settle for field goals when they should be getting touchdowns. That's another key to the game. I'm glad I thought about that score before I wrap this segment up. You got to get touchdowns. You can't settle for field goals. Field goals will not beat Aaron Rodgers. Bottom line. Field goals will not beat Aaron Rodgers. So you know what? I'm going to say that they're not going to kick any field goals. Matter of fact, I'm going to say they're going to score 21 points. And that might not be enough to beat the Packers. I'm going to say the Raiders are going to score 21 points. I'm not going to say who's going to win the game. I'm going to say the Raiders are going to score 21. They're not going to have any field goals because they know field goals will not win this game. But that's kind of a cheap way out. I got to make a decision, right? Come on, Q, make a decision. Oh, man, I'm wrestling back and forth. This would be a 3-game win streak. Coming off a bye, I'm going to talk myself into it. And you know what? I'm going to attack on a field goal. this is what happens when you're on the fly. This is what happens when we're on the fly. 24-21, Raiders win on a last-second field goal. Similar to what the Packers did last week against the Lions. They get a last-second field goal to win the game. The Raiders are going to get a last-second field goal to win the game. 24-21, same score as they had in London. That's my score. Raiders win 24-21. I'm sticking with it. It's locked in. And you know how they say on the show, is that your final answer? That's my final answer right there. It's locked in. So 24-21 victory because the Raiders have over 100 yards rushing from Josh Jacobs. That's how they win the game. Josh Jacobs has over 100 yards. Derek Carr has a good no turnover game. There's some pressure on Aaron Rodgers, and you stop the run defensively. Those things have to happen, and if they do, and I do believe they do, the Raiders come away with a 24-21 victory. Book it. That's what I'm talking. Oh, this is going to be a fun game on Sunday. Coming up in segment number 3, your call straight off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line 707-654-4693. That's next on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we are, Raider Nation. Final segment of the day on this Friday, October 18th, 2019. Your call straight off the Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Anthony in the North Bay calling in to talk about officiating as an official, plus talking about the keys of this week's game against Green Bay. And, oh, by the way, he's a new caller, so that means he's a new booty. Here he is, Anthony in the North Bay.
Hey there, Q. This is Anthony from the North Bay. I'm a new booty. I guess that's what you call first-time callers. But I wanted to weigh in a little bit on what you were discussing on Thursday's show about officiating and the keys to the game and all that type of stuff. I'm an official in the North Bay. We work high school football games. Our training, and you are spot on. It's absolutely guys that coming in at our level, we're just trying to fill spots. So the better games will get better official crews. The other guys are just trying to fill spots with one or two good officials, and then they're just trying to fill. But these guys are normal guys. They make mistakes. They aren't necessarily football guys all the time. So obviously that's something that happens. The guy from Arizona that wanted to complain about 10 touchdowns being taken away probably shouldn't have missed so many penalties, whatever. Anyway, the key to this week against Green Bay is getting off the field. You have to be able to get off the field against Aaron Rodgers. The teams that are able to, like, stay on the field have beaten us. The team like Kansas City, what you said earlier, 3rd and 20, they go out and get 40. You can't do that. Minnesota is able to stay on the field. They got the receivers out there to where it's not a big problem for them to convert a 3rd and long. This team has to be able to get off the field against another good quarterback that's able to scramble and has a receiving core that is able to understand that he needs them to move back towards him to be able to get open on those long routes. But if you're able to get pressure, keep him in the pocket, you're able to take him down and you're going to disrupt those routes. So, getting off the field is the most important thing. I enjoy watching this team because it is a team of, like, just a team of misfits that's able to go out and convert and succeed, but they need to be able to overcome a lot of this stuff and even more stuff that comes about. It's not just going to be a gravy train after Houston. They've got to be able to overcome everything that comes to them. And if they're able to do that, you never know what this team can do. They might be battle-tested, and they're going to be a band of brothers where they're going to be able to go into any battle and come out on top, hopefully. So, anyway, I appreciate the show. I enjoy listening on my way to work, and keep up the good work, man. Just win.
You're absolutely right, my man. Getting off the field on 3rd down will be a major factor to the game. You cannot give up 3rd and long. If you get them in that situation, 3rd and long, you cannot do like you did against the Chiefs and allow them to get off the field, or like you did against the Vikings and have penalties keep you on the field. You cannot do that. You're going to need to get off the field. If not, you will lose that game, no doubt about it. Anthony, thank you so much for that call, my man. Appreciate you. Next up, Urban Raider out the 661 calling in real quick to talk about the team and this game. Here he is, Urban Raider.
Hey, what's up, Q? Urban Raider here calling back. 661 from Bakersfield. Well, anyways, man, I believe this is a game that pretty much sums up what we're all about. I've been a Raider fan, I want to say, since 2001, and honestly, it's been up and down with this team. Like I always tell my friends, man, the Raiders remind me of a drug user. Just when you think they got their stuff together, they go and mess everything up. So if we beat the Packers, man, I really think we're up to something. So I hope we win, man. Go Raiders.
Good quick thoughts there, my man, and I understand what you're talking about. You see a lot of positives, and all of a sudden it's like, boom, here comes a negative, you know? And so, yeah, totally understand where you're coming from. Thank you for that call, my man. Appreciate you. Raider Richard in Vegas calling in to talk about the game on Sunday, Derek Carr, and the signing of Darren Waller. Here he is, Raider Richard in Vegas.
Hey, what's good, Q? This is your boy, Raider Richard, out in Las Vegas. Just calling in. Just wanted to go ahead and talk a little bit about the game coming up here on Sunday. I wanted to talk a little bit about Derek Carr. I wanted to talk a little bit about the offense and as well the big signing with Darren Waller. So first with Darren Waller, big, it's absolutely amazing that we ended up signing him. you know, especially well, not super long term or anything like that, but it's just good that he's going to be here for at least around for at least the next few years. I think he's going to be just a generational talent. Honestly, he's going to be our starting tight end for the next few years, and just the versatility that he has just going to be just amazing. So to talk a little bit about Derek Carr, I know a lot of fans and a lot of some of the callers have actually not been too big of a fan of DC. I mean, you said it over and over and over again. I mean, DC's not going to be the guy who's going to be slinging the ball left and right. He can do it, but he doesn't quite have the weapons. I think Gruden's going to have a few plays in there to go ahead and throw the ball deep, and we'll get to go ahead and see DC maybe sling the ball a little bit. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Packers' secondary is a little beat up, so maybe that might be some chances there for the ball to go deep, or maybe just some short passes and get those yak yards, you know. So I just think you know, he's super high on his completion rate. I think he's like in the top seven or something like that in the league. He's like 70-something% completion rate. So I mean, come on, guys, like if he's doing 200+ yards every single game. His completion rate is right there, always at 70-something%. Sometimes he doesn't rack up a bunch of touchdowns, but hey, he gets us in position to win the game. That's all we can ask for. Offense and things to look forward to in the game. I think, just keep on doing what we're doing. Just sticking to that run. Josh Jacobs is going to be a big contributor. And of course, our other running backs with, Washington. I think it's really just going to come down to whose line is going to be better and whose secondary is going to come up and come up to make some big plays. Their secondary is a little bit beat up, so maybe our wide receivers have a couple, and Waller can get loose for a couple big plays. Our secondary just needs to go in and keep an eye on their wide receivers, and of course, our defensive line needs to go in and apply some pressure onto Rodgers. He's a quarterback that can get away from the rush and can even get a first down with using his legs. So, I think it's really just going to come down to our offensive and defensive line. And whoever's lines get the bigger push, they're going to be the ones that are going to be winning.
I don't know if we're going to see DC going deep that much this week against the Packers. Jaire Alexander is a hell of a defensive back. He could target Kevin King, though. Kevin King has a tendency to get beat, even though he's a heck of a defensive back as well. But he kind of is like Marcus Peters, you know, Marcus Peters type, where he'll make a big play and then he'll get burned. And he'll make a big play and he'll get burned. He's very Marcus Peters-like without the off-field issues. So, yeah, if you're going to go after somebody, probably Kevin King would be the guy to go after. Stay away from Jaire Alexander. But either way you look at it, man, the run game is really going to be a key to this game on Sunday. Going to have to be really strong with the run. And if they allow you to run the ball, like it sounds like they're going to do, like they're not worried about the run, no, that could get them in trouble quick, fast, and in a hurry. So excited to see this game on Sunday against the Packers. Next call is from Raider Ed out the 818, calling in to talk about a couple rookies and Alec Ingold and Cleve Farrell. Here he is, Raider Ed.
Q, what's up, man? It's Raider Ed out of the 818. Just wanted to give you a quick call as we're closing up on this bye week, about to start at Green Bay. I want to let everyone know that I'm Alec Ingold, number one fan. Man, we are so lucky to have that guy. It was great to have Josh Jacobs give him props. I think everyone's now around the league realizing what a steal we got as a undrafted free agent. That kid is a stud. He definitely set in the tone in a lot of ways, along with that offensive line. So really, really excited of what he's going to be for us in the future. And the other rookie I want to talk about is Cleve Farrell. I think everyone should definitely be patient with Cleve Farrell. I think him, the realization that he was playing way too many snaps, moving them interior and then moving him outside, kind of caused a little confusion, a little bit of an issue with his growth and development. I think now, with a little steadier rotation of Benson Mayow, Max Crosby himself, keeping him a little bit more consistent and not as many snaps and keeping him fresh, I think those things are actually going to benefit him moving forward. I think a little bit more rotation with him and giving him some breather and letting him get his wind and then get after it when he can, I think it's going to really help him the second half of the season or the 11 games left. I think Cleve Farrell is somebody we all need to be patient with, but really be excited about the next several games. I think he's going to start to shine, and I really believe in this kid. So hopefully everybody else sees what I see, but if not, you know, hey, let's just get a win. Thanks, Raider Nation. Stay up. Q, keep riding.
Yeah, man, fullback Alec Ingold's been an absolute stud. And, you know, I'm with you on the Clelee Ferrell front. I mean, he's only played in a handful of games so far, and a lot of people are judging him on a guy that they shouldn't be judging him on. They're judging him on the guy that he's basically replacing. And we all know who that is in Khalil Mack, and he's not Khalil Mack. And Khalil Mack wasn't Khalil Mack immediately. And look, I know a lot of people said, oh, yeah, but you could see that Khalil Mack had talent, and you could tell that he was hungry and he was getting to the quarterback. He just wasn't finishing. Look, ultimately, it's a results business, right? That's all it is, a results business. In Khalil Mack's first season with the Raiders, and again, I'm not saying he's going to be Khalil Mack. In his first season, he had 4 sacks total. 4. That's not a whole lot. That's not just, you didn't know that he's going to be some super stud after seeing him in 1 year. So you got to give Clelee Ferrell some time. He's had 1 sack in 4 games he's played. So let's see how he shakes things out. Let's see how things go. He will be playing this week, so let's see how he does. And then we could judge him maybe after the season. How about you let him get a full season under his belt? But, yeah, I'm with you, Raider Ed. Thank you so much for that call. Justin from Davenport, Iowa. He's calling in to talk about all the negativity that continues to surround this team. He's trying to stay positive, but it's tough. Oh, and by the way, he's a first-time caller, so that means he's a new booty. Justin from Davenport, Iowa.
Q, new booty from Davenport, Iowa. Name's Justin. Just have to say, I'm trying to stay positive. I appreciate your podcast because you put a lot of things in perspective. But it's painful that it seems like at every turn there's some kind of negativity with this team. The Trent Brown news is about the last straw for me. It's just devastating. You want to see this offensive line get it together? We're excited to get Incognito back. We're excited to get Gabe Jackson back. And now this. I mean, it's probably only a matter of time until he's facing some kind of suspension. Absolutely deserves it if the charges are true, but it seems like every offseason acquisition the Raiders have made, there's been some kind of drama or what have you. It's discouraging. I'm hoping for the best, trying to stay positive. Your podcast is a big step toward that. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, man, you're right. It does seem like if it wasn't for bad luck, the Raiders would have no luck, right? Every time something positive is coming around the corner or it has arrived, yeah, it's a big hell no, and here comes some new issue. So it's always something, but there's one thing about the team. They are battle-tested. They have gone through a lot of adversity, up and down, challenges. They've gone through a lot of that already this season and have come out on top. So maybe that's a good sign for things to come. So if you're going to try to put a positive twist to it, maybe that's the one. Thank you so much for that call, my man. I appreciate you. Welcome to the family. Next call, Big Stone from Pittsburgh, California. Actually, used to live in Pittsburgh, California. So shout out to Big Stone from the 925 calling in to talk about the signing of Darren Waller and how excited he is about the future of the team. Here he is, Big Stone from Pittsburgh, Cali.
What's good, Q? This is Big Stone from the P-World 925, Pittsburgh, California. Man, just calling in. I saw Waller got signed last night. I couldn't be any more happier. You know, we are building a beast with this team. We got some young foundational players. Abram, Jonathan Jacobs. You know, we keep drafting this way. I'm excited, man. I couldn't be more pumped up for where the direction this team is going. But man, I had to call in when I saw Waller get signed. These are the type of players that you build upon, and I couldn't be any more happier. Rodney Hudson's locked up, Waller's locked up. Now we just need to go out there and kick some Green Bay ass. Well, anyways, I'll let you go, Q.
That's what's up, Big Stone. Appreciate the call. And you're right, man. There are a lot of foundational pieces, something that Mike Mayock said a lot before the draft, that that's what this team needed was a bunch of foundational pieces. And you see how guys, youthful guys, are signed to this team long-term, guys that you think are going to be big impact players, just like Darren Waller. So excited about what he could bring to the table in the long-term, not just the short-term, not just what he's done already, but the long-term. And again, it's a good story to root for anyway. Darren Waller is a hell of a story. Excited about him. And thank you again for that call, Big Stone. From Pittsburgh, Cali. Call me back and let me know if Raley's is still out there. Is Raley's? That's a grocery store I used to go to when I was in Pittsburgh, Cali. Matter of fact, what was the address? 20 Oak Ridge Court. That's where I lived in Pittsburgh, Cali. So you got to call back and let me know if Raley's is still there. I know I'm getting on sidetrack now, but it's all good. Next up, or last up, last call for the day. Matter of fact, T3 Raider Facts calling in with his 5 quick hits of the day, talking the crossover edition, defending against Aaron Rodgers, possible trick plays, offensive line being put together, and then Trent Brown. Here he is, T3 Raider Facts.
This is T3 Raider Facts with my 5 quick hits for the day. Number 1, I want to comment on the crossover edition with Peter Bukowski. I thought the exchange between the two of you was very knowledgeable, going both ways. It's easy to be a little pompous when you're looking down the perch from a 5-1 record, but I think he was pretty objective. He seemed to think the Packers were going to almost dare the Raiders to run on them. Well, Be careful what you wish for. Number two, if you're the Raiders and you're trying to stop Aaron Rodgers, you have to try and switch up the schemes a lot on defense. Blitzes will work possibly, but they have to be strategically dialed up because you know that Aaron Rodgers is a different breed of cat from what the Raiders have faced so far. The key will be getting pressure from the 3 to 4 man fronts that Gunther will throw out as the base D. Number three, will we see another Trevor Davis end around? Maybe a pass into the flat? I just want to see if Gruden has a trick or two to utilize one of the new Raider weapons against his old team. You know that deep down, Trevor Davis would like to show the Packers what they're missing by letting him go. Number four, now for the first time, the Raiders have the starting offensive line back and intact. Everyone's rested and ready. Let's see how that line flies and whether or not they take charge early. If they can keep Aaron Rodgers off the field by putting together some long, sustained drives, there could be some success. What scares me, though, is getting gashed by the big play, similar to what happened in Kansas City. Number five, I'm just going to make this comment about the Trent Brown situation and then let it go. Accusations are just that. Lawsuits are just that. Trent Brown has my full support as long as that is all they are. But let me go off book and say that I take domestic violence issues very seriously. And if you take part in that, you need to get help. I'm a public school teacher, and I've seen the effects of abuse in society. Win or lose, as far as domestic abuse is concerned, there is only losing here. There are no winners. I saw Trent Brown's statement. I hope that what Trent Brown said is true. But I also know that where there's smoke, I'm just saying. All right, keep the faith, Raider Nation. We got players coming and going, and we have had a week to rest and watch the fallout around the league. It's time to step out and knock out the last two games of this killer road trip. Hope we pick up a win. A trip to Lambeau Field and all that tradition and all that green and gold is pretty fashionable. But remember, Nation, passion always outlives fashion.
That's well said, my man, on the Trent Brown situation. It's a very touchy situation, but you know, you're spot on with what you say about that. And, again, the only approach that you could take and the only approach we should take as fans is a wait and see. Because, like you said, man, accusations, allegations, that's what they are right now until they're proven that they're not. So thank you so much for that call, my man. Definitely appreciate that. Thanks, everyone, call and everyone's support of the podcast, of the show. It's been a lot of love, man. Definitely appreciate everyone who reaches out to me on Twitter, at yourboyq254. You can hit me up at any time. I'll definitely hit you back. And if you do need a stream for Sunday's game, if you can't see it on TV and you need a stream, hit me. Just send me a DM, a direct message on Twitter, and I'll send you the link. And hopefully it works out for you on Sunday. So definitely appreciate everyone. As always, enjoy the game on Sunday. Be safe in whatever you do. And as always, just win, baby.